Back to the Ben and Skin Show on 97.1 The Eagle, the rock of Dallas-Fort Worth.
So, Ben, it's kind of sounding like Tim Urban's going to come up Friday.
Yes.
And I think people that listen to the show, they've at least heard us mention his name in conjunction with Live to Give, we're about to tell you about. But Tim is a dude that's been on American Idol, and he's also a really good video producer, director and producer and cinematographer and all that. And so he's done a lot of our videos before. Like when we did the whole Ben and Skin announcement at Pluckers that we were coming back on the air. He did all that for us.
He shot our sit-down interview with Dirk.
Yes. So he's a real talented dude, and part of it is that he's a good singer. And so he's going to come up here Friday and play some tunes for the peoples.
So I saw him Friday night at this incredible wine bar Saturday night in Salina. Uh-huh. And it was awesome. They're like, hey, we have people who want beer and you have people that want wine. Can we do a shuttle system? I'm like, I don't think that's legal, but that's very nice if you'd think that way. But he was playing there and all these people were stopping by and hearing him. And he played Second Chance by Shinedown.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, man, that's a song that plays a lot on our station, and it's a phenomenal song, and he murdered it. And then he did a Nirvana cover, and he started playing these rock songs, and he could play any style, and I thought, why not do a live music Friday where we get him to come by and do some covers, and let's get him to do some rock covers, covers that people on this radio station, Rockaholics, would really dig. Because he can play any style,
mm-hmm.
but he's really good at those rock covers, too. So he's going to come in and play some rock songs.
Live music Friday at 3 o'clock. And if you want to get a good look at what this guy looks like, go to livetogive.com. You'll see him on there modeling their gear. And it's great gear. We've talked about Live to Give quite a bit. It's a bottled water company started by John Wayne Walding, Green Beret, in which 50% of the net profits go to charities for veterans and first responders. So it still continues to serve. Even as it's a business. And then they have a coffee subscription you can get and great gear that Tim's on that website, livetogive.com. Go check it out. And then anytime you see it as bottled water, buy it. We want that to be your go-to bottled water, livetogive.com. Ben's got all kinds of problems, some of them Facebook-related, that we'll get into at 3:05 as part of a Now Trending in Ben. But right now, it's time for this.
Ha, 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 Ben and Skin listeners, here comes KT Fun Tweets with a round the sports.
Now let's go around the sports. KT Fun Tweets has all the sports, yeah.
Hey, guys, I don't care about the show anymore, so I'm going to throw it over to Skin. KT, out.
Kevin.
I'm out of here, bitches.
Kevin.
Bye.
Is your show on Saturday?
Yeah, sports and such. Make sure to watch it after all the high school football.
Are you going to do tomorrow morning? The morning after?
I don't know. Yeah, I haven't decided. Okay. I might be skiing with Dave Matthews.
Skiing?
On Lake Arkansas. Okay. Me and Dave and the Fiddle Man. Okay, back to Skin Toodles.
Thank you, Kevin.
Yeah, thanks, Kevin.
So we got into the whole John Gruden thing yesterday. The quick catch-up is that John Gruden won a Super Bowl with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And then, I can't remember, I think he was the Raiders coach before Tampa Bay. Yeah, that's what happened. And then he disappeared into a world of TV, and he was doing Monday Night Football and all this stuff. He was doing Corona endorsements, pizza endorsements. And he's a guy that talks like this, and he's... Oh, and he's always going, making faces like Chucky, you know. So he had that whole thing going on for years and years and years. And then his name would always resurface for coaching jobs, including his name was coming up quite a bit in Washington because his brother, Jay Gruden, was the head coach of the Redskins. Back then they were called the Redskins. And then 4 years ago, he came out of TV life for one of the most ridiculous deals ever. It was a 10-year, $100 million job to go coach the Raiders. And the coach of the Raiders, Al Davis, legendarily made the Raiders a big deal. He's had his hair slicked back, and he was the owner, and he was also the coach at different times, and GMs, and he had the real famous phrase, "Just win, baby." And he looked like maybe he just hosted a Vegas spectacular. He was real close with Jerry Jones because they were outlaws, right? And so anyways, when Al Davis passed away, his son took over as owner of the team. And Ben, how would you describe that man?
So he, I'm going to be very careful here, but he looks like Jim Carrey in Dumb and Dumber. Because legit, he has the worst haircut I've ever seen. And I'm not just trying to be mean. His hair, you know, the idea of the bowl cut where you put a bowl over someone's head and you cut their hair around the bottom of the bowl, it legitimately looks like that.
Okay.
It looks like he's got, you know, somebody should be looking after him. Like he shouldn't be out and about on his own.
Do you know what he looks
like? Poke himself in the eye with
a
spoon.
No, I don't.
I'm showing K-Ray the picture that Michael Rappaport posted today of him.
Yeah, I mean, he is a very bizarre looking guy. And I think somebody did a story on that haircut.
Yes.
And he pays a ton of money to have his hair
really
destroyed like that.
Yeah, it's really hard to imagine if he doesn't have some sort of learning disability. It's hard to imagine that being a conscious choice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you would think, all right, this guy's way on the spectrum or something that, you know, would not, you know, that would qualify as learning disability or something of that nature, special needs. For him to not have that and look like that is really astonishing.
Your haircut should never look like it happened to you.
Right.
Maybe he's trying to prove that he doesn't care what he looks like, right?
It could be, and I remember that's a decent point.
Yeah.
And he's crazy rich.
Yeah.
And he's not a sharp dresser either. He certainly dresses like he just pulled something out of a hamper. But the article I seem to remember that Ben was referencing made it seem like he was a real particular guy that did the same thing every day. I'm going to go eat breakfast at this diner, and I'm going to order the same thing, and Marge is going to get it. You know, like just this man of incredible routine, I guess I would say.
Yeah.
Well, he has weighed in on the John Gruden thing. And if you don't know, the John Gruden thing is during his broadcasting years, the first email came out last Friday and it dates back to 2010. So it's, you know, 11 years ago. This email, he was involved in an email chain with Bruce Allen, who is president of the Washington football team, who hired his brother. And then another guy on the chain was actually Sean McVay's dad, was also on this email chain. And in it, he's taking shots at the head of the NFL Players Association, a guy named Demore Smith, that African-American dude. And in it, he makes strong remarks about the appearance of his lips, and he calls him dumb. And so traditionally, these are things that have been racist tropes about African-Americans, right? So that came out, and he was kind of dancing around it. And then the Raiders went out and they lost, and he was going to comment more later. And then the floodgates opened when it was found out that the NFL leaked a bunch of these emails to the New York Times, and there's homophobic remarks, there's transphobic remarks, there's misogynistic remarks, there's racist. And so it paints this wild picture of a total jerk, like a total guy who's just a part of a meathead culture of entitlement and, you know, just that old thing. And I'll get into this other thing with the Ringer in a second, but I wanted to read this to you guys because I thought you would enjoy it. Here's what Mark Davis said. I have no comment. Ask the NFL. They have all the answers.
So he's upset.
Yeah.
I'd say that's my read as well.
He's upset. He's saying, hey, they turned our franchise upside down. Mm-hmm. They ask them.
And the interesting thing about they have all the answers is there has been quite a bit of backlash now from other media outlets as well as the NFL Players Association going to the NFL and going, so we're picking and choosing over here? Or are we going to go ahead and, like, unveil everything?
Yeah, because let's see the emails that were going back and forth over Colin Kaepernick.
Right. Oh, that's a great point.
Well, and someone mentioned, too, if he's that comfortable saying those things, look at the people he sent it to. Because, you know, again, he's comfortable saying these things to those certain people.
That's a great point. Let's see. While investigators have gone through 650,000 emails, only Gruden's messages have been made public. The NFL Players Association has called the NFL to make them all public. The Raiders, this is also the weirdest thing. So Gruden had a lot of front office power, all right, as part of his deal. Says, per Davis, general manager Mike Mayock will retain his title going forward, but will now have 51% of the decision-making power. with 49% going to interim coach and former Cowboys special teams coach Rich Bisaccia.
Oh.
So suddenly, Rich Bisaccia has a lot of power. And he's not only an interim coach, he's making 49% of their personnel moves. Why do you do that structure? Why don't you just let Mayock make the decisions? Because if you have 49% of the power, you're just acquiescing to whatever the other guy wants. Like, I guess you can raise your voice, but if he's got 2 percentage points
right,
higher...
He's like, no, I'm 2% higher than you, man.
Too bad, bro.
Weird.
So anyways, I read a pretty good article last night in The Ringer, and the whole point of the article was, you know, there's a lot of talk about, you know, what this means and what he was trying to say and, you know, what people believe behind the scenes, but this headline is, this is who John Gruden always was. And it's a really well-done article that goes in, and first it starts, you know, outlining all of the things that are in the New York Times article and what all that can mean. But then it goes in and it starts looking at his track record as a coach. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, it's one thing to say stuff publicly, but what are your actions actually saying? And as they point out in this, it's not about his emails or his words. And they say, let's think about what he thinks about Smith. And then it goes on to say, Gruden's decision-making over his 15 years as NFL head coach. Between his tenure with the Raiders and Buccaneers, he has given snaps to only one black quarterback, Sean King, who was already on the Tampa Bay roster when he got there. None of Gruden's past 8 offensive or defensive coordinators have been black. His only black coordinator was Willie Shaw, who has worked as the Raiders' DC in 98-99, when Shaw was abruptly fired in 99 after helping the Raiders go from 28th to 16th in just 2 seasons. Gruden and Allen was working with him at the time, tried to spin it as allowing Shaw to pursue head coaching opportunities. Shaw never became a head coach. The Raiders promoted a wide assistant.
Woo!
So it's and then it goes on to talk about the Michael Sam stuff. And, you know, whatchamacallit, Gruden had these comments saying, I can't believe we forced him to draft this Q. Called him, you know. Which actually you can say queer. It's not as bad as... Right. It's been indoctrinated by people that identify as that. And it pointed out that... what's that dude's name that's on the Raiders? I think his name's Nasib, who is openly gay. He was drafted before there was drafting... Or no, he was not out of the closet when the Raiders drafted him.
Okay.
And so it's like, hey, let's not give him credit for this. He came out kind of after the fact. And then it also says, if you look at his remarks about Colin Kaepernick, it said, in 2018, Gruden said Kaepernick wasn't on an NFL roster in part because the quarterback had lost a position battle with Blaine Gabbert. As with many excuses coaches give for not signing Kaepernick, it's a flimsy one. And Gruden clearly thinks someone with Kaepernick's political views doesn't belong in the NFL. It then goes on to say that the backup quarterback for the Raiders the past 2 seasons is Nathan Peterman, arguably the worst NFL quarterback of all time. Peterman is famous for throwing 5 interceptions and a half. Kaepernick threw 4 interceptions in his final NFL season. And so it's just going on and saying, hey, man, we're all like looking at these emails. He's really always been this guy.
Yeah.
And he's already been this guy. In a lot more visible of a way, all you got to do is look at someone's track record, and it'll speak volumes about how they see things and what they believe. It said that 12 teams in the NFL have at least one woman on their staff. And then, of course, he had these comments where he didn't think women could be referees or belong to be referees or whatever. Well, there was apparently one woman in the Raiders training department, and she left abruptly without giving a reason why. Mm-hmm. And Gruden's son was also one of the trainers in her department. So, anyways, it's certainly a wild story. And I think Gruden's obviously one of the more famous NFL coaches, at least even outside of the NFL. People knew who he was. He did endorsements. He was a big visible commentator on Monday Night Football for all these years. And all these kinds of things. Probably safe to say he'll never work publicly in a sports role again. I would.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what he can do.
Yeah,
I don't know. He's done.
He's probably.
But he's rich, so he's set.
He should be squared away. You would think.
Did you see Schefter get caught up in this too?
No. What'd he say?
So ESPN's top NFL reporter Adam Schefter is facing criticism and blowback for people in sports journalism because it was revealed that he had sent an unpublished story to a source before submitting it to his editors. He wrote it in 2011. He sent it to former Washington football team president Bruce Allen.
Okay.
And this is according to the LA Times. This was all revealed as part of the wide-ranging investigation, yada, yada, yada. But he sent Allen the story, which focused on the lockout between the players, the NFL that year. And he wrote, a high-level source close to team owner Dan Snyder, please let me know if you see anything that should be added, changed, or tweaked. Thanks, Mr. Editor, for that and the trust. Plan to file this at ESPN at 6 a.m.
Oh.
So he sent this in advance. Now, I've seen different takes on this. I'd love to get y'all's, but different takes. Some people are saying, hey, so he had a confidential source that gave him a lot of good information. He's just double-checking with them to make sure it's all right so he didn't burn the source in any way and make sure the source is okay with what he wrote.
Mm-hmm.
And then other people are like, wait a second, he's allowing this guy to write the column. So we've worked in sports journalism, and we've seen some of this, so... what is your take on this?
So my take on this is that this sort of thing goes on all the time. And it depends on the guy and how badly. Like, dude, Adam Schefter is one of the two or three most elite news-breaking guys there is. And in order to do all of that stuff, you do the dance with the devil. You go in there and you get high-level information from high-level people, and they expect certain things for that. And so that's the reason ESPN hired him. That's the reason he's got the status that he has. All of the top-level guys do all that. Now, I think it's probably a little bold to say, have at my copy however you want. And I don't want to speak for other people in the business, but editors know where this stuff is coming from. It's crazy how much sports editors know, like, of what's really going on. Sports editors know more than anybody because everybody reports to them, and it's their job to make sure they don't get sued. So sports editors usually know you get 40% of the stories. Sports editors know all of it.
I agree with you. I think it's easy for somebody to sit back and say, well, no, you got to go get that story and don't give the source a chance to see it or say anything. And I get it, but you do have to dance with the devil. And this is what Schefter said, I guess, yesterday on a sports talk show. He said, I've learned for a long time in this business not to discuss sources or the process or how stories are done. But I would just say that basically it's a common practice to run information past sources. And in this particular case, during a labor-intensive lockout that was a complicated subject that was new to understand, I took the extra rare step again to run information past one of the people that I was talking to. You know, it was an important story to fans, a host of others, and that's the situation.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with it. It is the way that system works, and I think it's embarrassing for him.
Yeah.
But I think there's a lot of things of the job that are embarrassing if people really know how it goes down, and it's all part of it's all part of Oz. It's all part of that whole structure and that whole system. The one thing I do want to say about this wave of cancel culture, and so now it's going to be weaponized in a way to brush back against progress. This stuff always happens. Like, the people that are getting... it's part of this giant hegemonic process where the structure is going to consume the counterstructure and rearticulate it for its needs and for its means. And this always happens this way. And so I just think we need to be real careful. If you are... and this is why it's so difficult talking about racism and those kinds of things. And I think it's very important for people to understand intentions. Intentions are very important because there are good people that care about the world that make racist mistakes because that's what they've been taught. You know, and that's what we talk about when we say structural racism or institutional racism. It reinforces racism as part of the structure. And so if you're a part of the structure, you're going to learn these things. And so what it takes is it takes you to start seeing it up close and thinking outside of it. I guarantee you, man, I have done and said racist things in the past that I didn't intentionally mean to be racist. I was ignorant. And so I'm, you know, I'm always going to try and do better and learn more and grow and all of these things. That's all that we can do. And I do think it's dangerous to go, you made a mistake 10 years ago, you've lost your job. But that's not what John Gruden did. Here's a mountain of him being an ass.
Right.
That's different than, you know, Jimmy Kimmel, like, dealing with the blackface thing, for example. I think it's pretty obvious if you watch Jimmy Kimmel. He's not a bad person, and he normally has good intentions. And this is the heart of the Dave Chappelle thing. Comedy's going to hurt feelings. The funniest stuff is going to hurt somebody's feelings. And so if we're going to start taking down funny people because they're funny, then we're going to have this humorless society that's going to absolutely suck. You got to think, what is the intention of the person talking? And you can't convince me that Dave Chappelle or Jimmy Kimmel, these people are mean-spirited people that want to hurt people and keep them from having opportunities. I just don't buy it.
All right, coming up next, and by the way, very well said. Mm-hmm. Coming up next, a near-death experience, one from, well, about 10 or 11 years ago, and one from last night, and two near-death experiences a decade apart, next in Trending and Ben on 97.1 The Eagle.